In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Our Lord Jesus, who speaks about the signs of the last times, says, "By your endurance, you will gain your lives." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It is customary in the church year, at the end of the church year, for the last two Sundays of the church year, which is today and next Sunday, to consider the end times, the last days, the return of our Lord Jesus. Thus the gospel lesson you just heard read. We have been and are in the last days. Ever since Christ ascended into heaven, ever since the day of Pentecost, these are the last days of mankind as the gospel is preached to all the nations. Malachi, the Old Testament lesson this morning, talked about that great day of the Lord of hosts. John the Baptist would be the Elijah to prepare the way for Jesus. And when Christ comes, he comes both in judgment and in mercy. The Lord of hosts, Malachi said, will come with burning fire and the wicked burned to ashes, but he comes in mercy. Those who fear his name will be like the, will in the Son of Righteousness have healing in the wings of Christ for them, and they will leap with joy like a calf that comes out of the stall, leaping for joy. In view of the fact that we are in the last days and the last times, Jesus says, "By your endurance, you will gain your lives." The Christian life is like a race. We must remain faithful and endure until the end, until whether we die or Jesus returns. Now the words of Luke 21, which were the gospel lesson, are the words of Jesus during Holy Week on Holy Tuesday. The day before, on Monday, he had cleansed the temple and drove the money changers out, the temple to be a place of prayer. But now on Tuesday, the next day, because they can look at the beautiful buildings of the temple built by Herod the Great and admire them, and the disciples were admiring the temple, and Jesus says something to them before a few days later he is crucified, that the time is coming when not one stone will be left upon another of the temple. And they were astonished. They couldn't believe what he was saying. But this is really what the truth of this gospel lesson means for us today. You're alive today. We are to live in expectation of one of two things. Our death upon earth and entrance into heaven could be today, or the return of our Lord Jesus from heaven to earth to take us and raise our bodies into heaven forever. That could happen today. Yes, we are actually supposed to live this way, as if this is my last day on earth, I might die today, or this might be the day that Jesus returns. And actually, when you live that way, life is filled with joy and expectation. And despite the afflictions and desolations of this life, when we live that way, we can do what Jesus said. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. So let's this morning look at the words of Jesus, the words about the last days. First, let's consider the signs of the last day in history. Then we'll look at the sign of the destruction of Jerusalem, the temple. And then finally, we'll look at the sign of the Son of Man when he comes in glory. First of all, our Lord Jesus gives us the signs of these last days in history. Jesus says, "Don't be led astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' or 'the time is at hand.' Do not go after them." There are more false prophets, more false teachers, more false Christs as the years go by. Do not go after them. You have the Scripture, the Old and New Testament. You need no word from some supposed prophet. Jesus continues, there will be wars and tumults. They must happen. The end is not yet. Do not be terrified. There will be nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Amazingly, Jesus is saying, is when you live in expectation that I might die today, or Jesus might return, then we don't have to be terrified even when there's wars, rumors of wars, tumult between nations. It seems like when you pick up the newspaper, when one war finishes, another war starts somewhere else. There's no end to it. Jesus told us it was going to be like this. Then he continues, there will be earthquakes, famines, and pestilence. All around the world, we see typhoons, hurricanes, tornadoes. My goodness, we even have earthquakes in Oklahoma. Earthquakes, the world is in distress. The natural realm is quaking. Tears and signs from heaven. All kinds of things in the heavens that people can't explain, that they're terrified by. And Jesus warns, they may even lay hold of you to persecute you, bring you before kings and governors, your own family members may deliver you up and hate you for your faithfulness to Christ, and some of you may even be put to death for my name's sake. This has happened. People who've been betrayed by their own families simply because they're Christians. People have been dragged before kings and governors like the apostles were in the book of Acts. And many martyrs have died for their faithfulness to the name of Jesus Christ. One way to compare the signs of the last days in history is to compare it to a snowball. When I was a child growing up in Ohio, in the middle of the winter, we'd get to the top of a high hill. And we'd start a snowball about this big. And as we continued to roll this down the hill, depending on how long the hill was, by the time we got to the bottom of the hill, we had almost a 3-foot-high snowball that we'd pushed and rolled down this hill. That's a good illustration of the signs of the last days. As history is rolling down the hill, if you will, there are more false prophets, more false Christs, more earthquakes, more famines, more wars. It keeps increasing as history goes on. No one knows the day of our Lord's return, but every day we live, we are one day closer to Jesus' return. However, despite the signs of the last days, we are not supposed to despair. Jesus said, this will give you an opportunity to bear witness. They will call you forward, and I will give you words and wisdom that they will not be able to withstand. You will be able to speak and bear witness to Jesus Christ. And even if they kill you, not a hair of your head will perish, because you will be raised. The blind will see, and the deaf will hear, and the lame will walk. Despite the despair of the last days in history, Christians look at it as a challenge, as a wonderful opportunity. If you're dragged before unbelievers, you can bear witness to Jesus Christ, the light of the world. You can love even your enemies and say Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for the sin of the whole world and is returning in glory. And you can bear witness in the midst of the signs of the last days in history. So we do not despair. It's easy to get down when you pick up the newspaper and read what you read. But remember, Jesus told us ahead of time, these things would happen. Use every opportunity you have to bear witness to his name, the name in which this child was baptized, in which you are baptized. Then secondly, Jesus gives the sign of the destruction of the temple at Jerusalem. Jesus is standing by the temple, which had been remodeled by Herod the Great, which was a place of beautiful stones. It was adorned wonderfully. The days are coming, Jesus said to the disciples, that not one of these stones will be left upon another. They will all be thrown down. They're astonished. Teacher, when will this happen? What's the sign of this? A word about the temple. The place of the Temple Mount, which I've seen, was the place of Mount Moriah. It is where Abraham went up to offer Isaac, and God stopped him and said, no, the Lord will provide, and there was a ram in the thicket, which pointing to Christ, through whom he would provide the lamb. Because that spot became the place of the temple, and is right next to Calvary, where Jesus was crucified. After David took over this area and made it his capital city, his son Solomon built a beautiful temple on this spot. Later on, after the Babylonian captivity, it was rebuilt, and then further on, Herod made it even more beautiful. But the place of the temple was very significant, not just because it was a building, but because God said, when you build this temple in the Holy of Holies and you have the Ark of the Covenant there and the mercy seat over top the Ark, when I see the sprinkled blood of the Lamb without blemish in the Holy of Holies, I will have mercy on you and I will forgive. That is where I will meet you. And so this temple was the central place of worship for the Jews. Why in the world is Jesus foretelling that that place would be thrown down? The Jewish people were given their opportunity in the nation to believe the gospel, and many of them did. But many also did not. They rejected it. And Jesus is foretelling that once the gospel goes out after his ascension, some Jews would believe, and the Gentiles would also come to faith. But because of the unbelief and the wickedness of Jerusalem, he would allow it to be destroyed. And that's exactly what happened, if you know history. In 70 AD, the Romans came through. They had had it with Jerusalem. And Josephus, in his History of the Antiquities, was an eyewitness of the destruction of Jerusalem and its temple. The Roman soldiers literally came in and killed most of the population of Jerusalem and took the gold and the adornments out of the temple and hauled them to Rome and took it down stone by stone, brick by brick. Desolation came with the army surrounding Jerusalem, and to this day, the temple is still gone. There's a mosque on it now called the Dome of the Rock, but the temple is gone. The Christians heard Jesus' words, and when this happened, they fled to Judea. They got out of Jerusalem. But when this day of vengeance came, it was a horrifying thing. Distress upon even pregnant women and all the people living there as God's wrath, and people fell by the edge of the sword. Jerusalem was literally trampled underfoot. How could God allow this to happen? The answer is in Jesus and his crucifixion. Jesus himself explained what was going on. You remember what he said? Tear down this temple. In 3 days, I will rise it up. Everything in the temple was pointing to Jesus. Jesus is the once for all high priest. Jesus was the sacrificial lamb. Jesus' blood is sprinkled over the Holy of Holies on the cross. He is the priest. He is the shepherd. He is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. His body is the temple. The temple was pointing to Jesus. Now that Jesus had come and was about to die that week on the cross and say, "It is finished," the temple curtain would be torn in two. We no longer needed that building because our temple is Jesus. And when we, in holy baptism, are incorporated into the body of Christ, of which he is the head, we are the temple of God. The building is no longer needed. And to make that point, God allowed it to be taken down. So rather than looking at a building, we're looking at Jesus, crucified and risen. And that is the preaching of the church. The time of the Gentiles is indeed been fulfilled. For in Jesus' name, the gospel is being proclaimed in all the nations. And the work is continuing here and all over the world. That is why Paul said in 2 Thessalonians, in the command of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shouldn't be lazy, but working diligently at our daily living, doing good in our vocations and callings, as God uses us to point to people to Jesus, the temple of God in the flesh. And then lastly, and then most importantly, of course, of all, is the actual sign of the Son of Man's return. Jesus says there'll be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and distress, roaring seas and waves, perplexity among the nations, people fainting with fear, with foreboding of the coming of the destruction of this world, and the power of the heavens will be shaken. Did you know the Bible teaches that when Christ comes, the universe itself will be melted with the great heat. The universe will be gone and be burnt up. And the Son of Man will come in clouds with great glory and bring forth the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells. He will be the shepherd who has the sheep on his right, those who had faith and believed, and the goats on his left who would not believe. When the Son of Man comes, he will come in judgment and mercy. Judgment against all unbelief, but in mercy for his sheep. For when we stand there before Jesus, as he sits upon his throne, we are clothed in Christ's righteousness. We are those who have gone through the great tribulation, and our robes have been washed white in the blood of the Lamb. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. You're baptized in his name. You heard absolution today in his name. You receive Holy Communion in his name. So as we look for Jesus' return, he says, straighten up, raise your head. Your redemption is drawing near. We have been redeemed, bought back by Jesus, the second Adam, who lived the perfect life for us, died as our substitute, and in his blood we have been purchased for his Father. When people are down, they are stooped, walking like this. But when you're waiting in expectation, you lift up your head, you raise your head, and you look forward to expectation of what is coming. Jesus says that is how we live, not in despair, not being down and depressed, but rejoicing, straightening up our heads, with looking forward with expectation to the redemption that is coming. We know that that last day is coming, and we know that in the crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ, we can live our lives in expectation of that day. And so I ask you, are you ready? Are you ready to die today? Or are you ready for our Lord Jesus to come today, to take us to the new heavens and the new earth, pictured in Revelation 21 and 22, the holy city where there's no more temple, because the Lord is the temple, and the Lamb is the light. May we be ready to die today, or for our Lord Jesus Christ to return, covered in his righteousness. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and our minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.